time now for Bible Talk. Join Gary Gibbs and John Bradshaw as they open the Bible to deepen our understanding of God's Word.
Hi, friend, and welcome to Bible Talk, where we talk about the Bible and how the Bible affects us today. I'm John Bradshaw.
And I'm Gary Gibbs. And John, today we're going to talk about God's church and how to find the church of the Bible.
You know something? I was thinking last time we were talking about, here on Bible Talk, and we were talking about church and the church and so on, you mentioned a really interesting verse that we didn't really go into. Might be time to do that now. You said how in Revelation chapter 12, there's a woman representing God's true people, God's true church. Now, it might be worth going back into that and finding out what that means and whether this would help us identify and understand God's church in these last days.
We can identify God's church in the last days because that's why God put this prophecy in Revelation. There are actually two women mentioned in Revelation. There's the pure woman of Revelation 12 that represents the pure church, and then there's the harlot woman of Revelation 17, 18 that represents the straying churches, the apostate churches, if I can use that word. Going to Revelation chapter 12, you see this woman. I'm not going to read it verse for verse, John, but she's clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet. She's got a garland of 12 stars on her head. She bears the man-child who's called up to God in his throne. This represents Jesus. So this church, this woman represents the true church. And we find this metaphor used numerous times in Scripture. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, Paul says, "I'm jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I've betrothed you to one husband, and that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Jeremiah 6, 2, "I've likened the daughter of Zion to a lovely, delicate woman."
In another place, the Bible says, "Your maker is your husband." So clearly God uses this figure of a woman to represent the church. You get into Revelation, heavily involved with symbols and symbolism. Woman symbolically represents a church. You're saying a pure, chaste woman representing pure church, God's people, God's church.
You have the marriage supper of the Lamb mentioned in Revelation chapter 19, 9. You know, his wife has made herself ready. And so Christ marries his church. He comes back for the church. So that's the pure one represented in Revelation 12. We need to come back to her because if you read Revelation 12, Revelation 12, 13, 14, you can actually just chart on a piece of paper the characteristics of this woman. It's laid out right there. But before we do that, I'd like for us to jump to this other woman.
So yeah, you said there's a second woman here. And if she contrasts, then she can't be pure like the first woman. So what's she all about?
Revelation chapter 17, it says that she's a harlot woman. She's arrayed in purple, scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. And in her hand, she has the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And on her head, she's got this name, John. We're actually given her name. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth.
That's pretty stern stuff right there. What is she? It's a mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the mother of abominations. Wow, that's strong medicine.
Well, you have to look at the meaning of this. And the Bible says in James 4, verse 4, that adultery, spiritual adultery, is when a church makes friendship with the world and is not true to her husband, Christ. Adulterers and adulteresses, the scripture says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And so you here have a woman who should be married to Christ and following his commands and honoring him, but instead she's compromising with the world to gain the favor of the world. Now, ancient Israel did that, didn't they?
Yeah, they sure did, left and right, time and time again. They take one step closer to God and 10 steps away from God. God said, I want you to be singular, peculiar, particular. I want you to be clearly mine. Don't go mix up with the heathens. Don't marry the heathen, anything like that. But boy, what did Israel do? It didn't take them long, and they were way out in left field.
And they began worshiping the gods
of the pagans.
Oh, yeah. They began worshiping in the manner that the pagans worshiped, and they began dressing like the pagans. And before you knew it, they didn't look like God's people any longer.
Man, I wonder if you can say we've got any of that going on down here in the close of time where people are starting to worship like pagans and dress like pagans and carry on like pagans.
Well, that's why the Bible says this is Babylon. And Babylon represents confusion, but it also goes back to ancient Babylon. You know, all false worship, actually, you can trace back to literal Babylon, you know, millennia ago. all that false worship comes out of Babylon.
Babylon, old Babylon, if I understand correctly, was a real center for sun worship and for ancestor worship, spiritualism and sun worship, which, if you know what you're looking for and you look clearly, you can see that very clearly in Christianity today.
And not to mention the non-Christian religions. It's all out there as well.
Sure.
There. Well, if you look at these two women, as I said before, you'll find these different characteristics. You just chart them out of the Bible. Let's start, John, with the mother church, Babylon.
Before you do, we've got to mention that we have a great offer today.
Please do.
A book written by none other than Gary Gibbs himself. I want you to have this. We'll give it to you. Coming One World Church. Very well written, very informative. We'll give you a phone number and an email address at the end of this program. You contact us and we'll get that to you absolutely free. It's a gift. And it's important enough for you to really want to have this. Coming One World Church, the information when we're done.
In Revelation 17, the harlot woman of Babylon, we're given four characteristics to identify her. Verse 4 says she's arrayed in purple and scarlet. So her colors, her official colors, purple and scarlet.
Okay, scarlet is red, really, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
And then verse 9, she sits on seven mountains, it says. Okay, so she sits on a place, a location that consists of seven mountains. Then verse 6, she is drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. So
in other words,
she's persecuted God's people.
She's responsible for the deaths of obviously many people.
And then verse 18, she is the head of that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. She has political power and influence over the world, over the world leaders.
Now, what you're saying really is, are you saying here that this is a church organization? Or is this a woman earlier on? Remember, a woman represents God's true church. A woman represents, you got a negative woman later on in Revelation chapter 17. Now, there's something to think about there. Go on and push forward with a little more on this.
Well, I don't know how specific I want to be. You know what I'd rather our listeners do is actually go and look this up.
Sure.
And study it out themselves. Get out Revelation 17 and start charting these items here, because it's very clear. You've got the official colors, purple and scarlet. They sit on a city of seven hills. They have a history where they have persecuted Christians. And then they have political power over the kings of the earth.
Sure.
And look that up and see what power might be out there.
It shouldn't be too hard to figure that out.
No. And then the other identifying feature here, it is a mother church. So this is a church that has spawned many other churches. And then you'll find that the mother and the daughters are part of that system that has strayed from God. And now we need to ask the question, how have they strayed from God? It's a very important thing to look at. Well, it says that she's committed sin. And sin, the Bible says in 1 John 3, is transgression of God's law.
Okay, sure.
And so these churches are not upholding God's law. Now, that's a perfect segue now to look at the other woman, because this woman has four or five characteristics, and she is depicted as keeping God's law,
okay,
and following God.
She'll be the antithesis, really, of this negatively portrayed woman.
Where this was
negative, she's going to be positive. So let's go ahead. Revelation chapter, where are you taking us?
We're looking at Revelation chapter 12 now, where we started. And we have a number of things here. First one I want you to look at is here in verse 14. It says that she's given two wings of a great eagle, that she flies into the wilderness, where she's nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the face of presence of the serpent. Now, this is a complicated prophecy. Really not too complicated, in fact, but it's more complicated than we have time to cover here. But it's a time prophecy.
Yeah, students of Bible prophecy down through the years have understood this to represent a period of 1,260 years.
This prophecy is actually mentioned like six times in Daniel and Revelation.
Yeah.
And it began in 538, ended in 1798. So it covers a large portion of time there, 1,260 years. And I want to invite our listeners, don't take our word for this, call, write, enroll in our Bible study course, and take the course, and you'll discover this prophecy is covered there. But this prophecy ends in 1798. Now, Christians have all recognized this time period. It doesn't matter which denomination you're talking about. Historically, they looked at this being fulfilled in the late 1700s.
Sure.
So this woman, the church, is in hiding till then. Now, historically, what happened is, during the Middle Ages, God's people were being persecuted, and they had to flee into the wilderness because they were being persecuted for following the Bible.
I wonder if many people really realize that it was very, very difficult to be a Christian then. You know, in some parts
of the world.
A true
biblical Christian.
Yes. In some parts of the world, it's very difficult today, but here in the United States, very, very easy. But back then, to be a biblical Christian, it often meant your life.
And it wasn't communism or necessarily Islam that was attacking these Christians. It was Christian persecution on Christian.
That's correct.
Because the church had strayed so far and had accepted so much paganism and gotten so far away from the Bible that those believers in their midst that wanted to get back to the Bible were a threat to them.
Mm-hmm,
and so they were persecuted and they were killed by the millions. Hundreds of millions, in fact.
So you've got here this thing that ruled for that long period of time. That's one identification point.
So it's going to come up after 1798.
All right.
So then the second one is, second and third, you find Revelation 12:17, that she'll keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So they're going to keep all the commandments of God, all 10.
Now, that's a very clear one. It says in Revelation 14, here are they that keep the commandments of God. Revelation 22, blessed are they that do the commandments of God, keep the commandments of God. It doesn't make much sense to say, well, here's a group of people waiting for Jesus to return. They're ready to go to heaven, but they're living in known disobedience of God's express will. That doesn't make any sense at all.
And when you look at those 10 commandments, there's one that really separates Christendom. And that's that fourth one. The fourth one says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
And it says that very clearly. Unfortunately, though, a lot of Christians say, well, I didn't really mean that, even though I don't have a verse to show you that says it doesn't really mean that. So this is something I would challenge anybody listening to think about. The Bible clearly says that, and if the Bible's clear, then we ought to be clear on that too if we love Jesus Christ.
So it's going to be a church that keeps all God's commandments, and I believe including the fourth one. It will be a church focused on Christ. It has a testimony of Jesus Christ.
It would have to be. It would have to be focused on Jesus Christ and his salvation, his free salvation.
And then the last point is in Revelation 14:6. They take the gospel to every nation, tongue, and people. It's going to be a worldwide gospel movement. Now, I want to invite our listeners, John, you should go out and look up church history and look at where the church strayed in the Middle Ages.
Mm-hmm.
And then look at the church movements that arose in the 19th and 20th centuries. Look at the churches that are following God, keeping His commandments, that are worldwide movements preaching the gospel. And when you start doing that, you'll narrow down the number of denominations very quickly and the number of churches, and you'll begin seeing where God is leading His people today.
You're going to need to do this with a spirit of openness. Friend, pray and ask for the Holy Spirit's guidance. What we're encouraging you to do today is to look at what the Bible says and ask the Lord Jesus Christ if He would lead you in the same direction that His Holy Spirit is moving right now, lead you in harmony with the truth of God's Word.
And remember, God has people in all different denominations and churches around this world, and God loves us all, and God is bringing us together through a study of His Word.
We are just so glad that you've been able to join us in a study of God's Word today. We'll have more next time, and we sure hope you can join us. Hey, be sure and contact us and get that book written by Gary Gibbs, Coming One World Church. More next time here at Bible Talk. If you'd like more information on what we've been studying today, we have a comprehensive Bible study guide we'd love to share with you that's absolutely free. This study includes many of the texts we've just discussed and expands on the subject, including information you'll want to know. To receive this free, informative Bible study guide, simply call, write, or email and ask for Coming One World Church. The toll-free number is 866-BIBLE-SAYS. That's 866-242-5372. You can write to us at Bible Talk, P.O. Box 1058, Roseville, California 95678. That's P.O. Box 1058, Roseville, California 95678. Or email us at BibleTalk@lifetalk.net. BibleTalk@lifetalk.net. Bible Talk has been produced in association with Amazing Facts in the studios of Life Talk Radio.